Blog Talk Radio.
Again, let me just go ahead and redo that again. I'm kidding.
I could go for another time. I like that song.
That song is both sexy and angry. I don't know how that happens. How do you make an angry, sexy song? Anybody out there know how you do
it? I don't know, but it works.
How you feeling? How you doing?
I is doing good. I'm doing real good.
I am looking at, and guess what, guys? It's already up. I am looking at a lovely, delicious new co-op trailer from Dead Island. Try not to break your neck getting over to the site. I know. It is very hot. It's a nice trailer. Mm-hmm. I know y'all been waiting for this.
Mm-hmm.
All I got to say is this game better be good.
It better be good.
If it's not, I'm going to cut somebody over at Deep Silver. Oh, God, it's gorgeous. Look, look, I can't even talk about the news. Oh no, here come the Twitter.
Is it
that good? It's
Jay Dukes. Jay, what's up?
And he says he can't listen to the show. He was just escorted out by security for throwing my trash can through the window.
Love you, Jay. It's all Corey's fault.
It is not my fault. Sometimes you just have to wake up and be angry. You know, is it Wednesday yet? Is it Thursday? And you're angry. That's just the way it goes.
No, it's Tuesday.
No, stop it. Stop talking about it. Okay.
Better only be Tuesday. If it's Wednesday, I'm going to be upset.
It needs to be Thursday. It needs to be Friday, for that matter. That's why I'm angry. I just woke up that way.
It needs to be something for sure.
Lovely. All right. So, you guys know where you are, right? You don't?
No. Where am I?
You are listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey.
That was so hot.
The most violent girl-on-girl action in the morning. No. They're going to throw us up out of here. Okay. Ginger, you got some news for the people? We need to
I do have some down. News this morning. I'm not going to say this is going to calm you down any, but this is kind of amusing.
Uh-oh.
All right, so, yeah, GamePolitics.com this morning. Experts say Anonymous and LulzSec should focus their chaos. Oh, yeah, people, here we go. All right, so Tuesday morning, hacking groups Anonymous and LulzSec are doing themselves a disservice with random attacks and need to get more focused in order to accomplish their goals, according to a panel of computer security experts that convened during the DEF CON Hacker Conference in Las Vegas last week. All right, so what they said was, Josh Corman, research director at 451 Group, says, "We have an opportunity to not just cause chaos, but to cause organized chaos. I'm suggesting the actions in pursuit of their own goal compromise the goal. There's a way to render more specific what they want to accomplish." Corman went on to say that these groups would be better off focusing their attention on the more nefarious elements of the internet, such as child exploitation sites.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Tuesday all morning. That's something we can all get behind, Corman says, and I agree. So another panelist seemed unimpressed with Anonymous's recent hack of defense contractor Mantech International and said that both groups should focus their efforts on finding evidence of government corruption and exposing things like collateral murder video that WikiLeaks published in 2010. "If you're going to do this, then find the real dirt," said the panelist, who appeared on stage in disguise. He later revealed himself as security blogger Cryptia. The panel was moderated by Paul Roberts, editor of the Threat Post security blog Jericho, a founding member of attrition.org, and many others. Cryptria, anyways, went on to accuse the groups of not having any goals, and their general goal was to simply smash things. Jericho called on Jericho called on the community to build a better Anonymous that wouldn't cause as much collateral damage from its activities and could have a beneficial effect on the security industry. He also suggested that Anonymous and LulzSec have a role to play in improving computer security by hacking companies that failed to secure their systems even after being warned about it. I see some other points here. And on the other hand, you guys cannot work as an actual group. I mean, you do for a very short amount of time.
It's not even that they're working as a team. It's that what they're working as a team for
is dumb. Right, not all of it is, but a lot of it is.
The funny thing is, this morning, probably at 4:30, I was watching the movie Hackers, and y'all know I love my movie trivia, so I went to go read about it because I think that's one I just haven't checked out lately. And read that when the movie came out, there was a group of hackers that hacked the movie's website because they didn't like some of the content, the way it was portraying hackers. And I thought to myself, now, and then the name of the group was something like the American something coalition or whatever, but it was real honorable, you know, name. And what they did was for a good cause. It was kind of, you know, in the end, it was not really necessary. The movie actually, you know, did portray hackers in a good light at the end of the day. But the company that made the movie thought it was just so awesome sauce that they did this. They left the site the way it was hacked throughout the duration that the movie was out in the theaters. So I'm thinking of LulzSec. Ironic that you bring them up this morning. And they're right. Why are you not going after child pornography? Why are you not going after, you know, people luring people to their death, saying, you know, come and meet me for coffee, and then they're killing them? Why are you not doing some of that? Why don't you use your skills for something that's actually helpful? Why not? And I'm not saying you should, but why aren't you over there after those Congress people?
That is a very good question, and one that I've often wondered. Why? Well, why are you not?
You went after your own peoples. Like we said yesterday, when you riot, and you did the same thing, which is a digital riot, you went after your own people. We're your peoples. We play games with you.
We is you peeps, you peoples. What you doing?
And you turned on us, so I'm sorry. I have no love and support for you. You can hack us if you want to. I'm pretty sure you will. Instead of doing something constructive with yourself. People. Anyway, speaking of rioting, you know somebody had to be blamed for the London riots, don't we? We know somebody was going to catch the blame.
Who are they blaming this time?
BlackBerry Messenger.
How? What?
VentureBeat reporting this morning, BlackBerry maker Research in Motion has said Monday evening that it will cooperate after the police said BlackBerry Messenger played an instrumental part in coordinating these violent rioting and looting in London during the past few days. In a statement to VentureBeat, RIM said, as in all markets around the world where BlackBerry is available, we cooperate with local telecommunications officers, law enforcement, and regulatory officials. Similar to other technology providers in the UK, we comply with the regulation of Investigatory Powers Act and cooperate fully with the House, with the Home Office and UK police forces. Wow, that was a lot of nothing. The company declined to elaborate further, but the Regulation of Investigatory Powers Act does allow police to make companies hand over information. So RIM could potentially have to give up any information it has on specific users. BlackBerry Messenger, or BBM, is a free private messaging service that only works on BlackBerry devices. Yes, we are all aware of what it does. What makes the network special and easier to misuse is that BBM messages are encrypted and untraceable to authorities. RIM said in the past that it can't unscramble messages sent via BBM, and it's unclear the scope of the company's capabilities in this area. Social networks such as Twitter and Facebook have additionally been blamed for amplifying users' messages. Steve Cavanaugh, the Deputy Assistant Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police, said the inflammatory and inaccurate messages on Twitter were also to blame for riots, according to Guardian. Social media and other methods have been used to organize these levels of greed and criminality, Kavanaugh said, according to the paper. The riots in London have been raging since Saturday, and it's reported that a 26-year-old man who was shot during the riots has died and become the first death attributed to the mass disorder. Police are expecting more disturbances this evening, which is right now for us. is this evening. The negative press towards BBM certainly didn't help RIM, which has struggled lately to keep consumers interested in its devices. The company just launched 5 new models of BlackBerry 7 devices, but many smartphone buyers in the U.S. and around the world have shown a preference for Apple's iPhone and Google's Android devices. On a final note, the lovely gentleman that wrote this particular article said he'd like to point out that although smartphone technology and social networks help in coordinating the riots in London, these tools should not be blamed for actually causing the disorder. I was going to say that. If not BBM message or Twitter, then users could have used text messages or simply phones to call phone calls to coordinate. Technology can be used for good and bad purposes, and devices themselves shouldn't be blamed when humans choose to cause unfortunate events. Yes. Very, very true. But we all know how our peoples in charge are. Those evil devices are what caused, you know, what caused the problem. It's not the people that were holding them. Like, if you lay them on the floor, they would all get up and just start writing on their own because they're just so powerful.
No. Nice try. No. Not at all. And some of you people, I don't...
People, it's not BlackBerry Messenger. And you know, it's ironic, in the same article, BlackBerry Messenger's even having trouble keeping customers. So who was actually using it to cause the problem? They all have iPhones. Maybe we need to go after Apple. Those evil iPhones. Those evil Androids.
Yeah, something, because...
Why can people just not accept that some people are crazy? You know what's causing that? People.
There are crazy people out there? No way!
Yes. Let's blame the gamers. You know it'll be our fault next.
All right, there are a lot of crazy gamers out there. Yeah, you right there. Yeah, I'm looking at you. You're totally flipping nuts. But, you know, I love you, so...
Be nice.
All right. No way, man.
Uh-oh.
All right. You ready to get up and dance?
No.
Oh,
too early.
I know, I'm a little bit tired. All right, well, they say Get Up and Dance is updated. No, Get Up and Dance dated. Get ready to get up and dance this November with O Games Floor... brain gutter. All right, there we go. O Games Floor Filler. O Games has today confirmed the release date of its floor-filling dance title, Get Up and Dance.
Floor-filling? Interesting.
Oh, God. All right, so the ultimate... I'm too busy giggling. The ultimate dancing game that everyone can play, whether you are the star performer or prefer to stay out of the limelight as a backing dancer, Get Up and Dance is set to strut its stuff on Nintendo Wii and the PlayStation 3 on November 4th, 2011. Featuring everything from classic funky disco tracks to current chart-topping hits, all complete with their official videos, there's something for everyone to enjoy with Get Up and Dance. Get your friends round and get dancing together, or have your very own dance-off and Get Up and Dance parties. Have your own dance off and get up and dance's party mode.
Mm-hmm.
Party mode features party games that you can play with up to 8 mates, competing against each other's teams with party games including Party Mix, Last Man Standing, and Tug of War. Had enough of competing against each other? Then band together and form your very own dance group with Get Up and Dance's innovative group mode. You and up to 3 friends can choose to perform as either a lead or backing dancer to group routines specially choreographed for Get Up and Dance. Group mode also allows you to dance and have fun in a group or to participate in the talent competition, where you compete in 10 rounds to see if you can dance your way to the top. Plus, with loads more features like shape-up mode, rehearse mode, and jukebox, Get Up and Dance really is the ultimate dancing game package for home console owners. All right, so again, this is coming out November 4th, 2011 for Nintendo Wii and the PlayStation 3. If you head over to Game & Matrix right now, I do have you up some pack shots and the logo, so go check it out.
No, and you cannot make me.
Oh, you should.
No.
All right, you're right. I can't make you. But you really should.
Well, Shaq News.
Well, what we have here is...
Well, Shaq News and the lovely gentlemen and ladies over at GamePolitics.com have told us what we already knew was going to happen. We knew it was coming.
What do we know was happening?
Gamefly is apparently targeting digital distribution of PC games. Yet another... person in the ring. This is going to be really interesting. Get the jello ready. Lime flavored, please. Subscription-based video game rental company Gamefly announced this morning that it plans to launch a digital distribution service for PC-based video games. The company will debut an online digital store for PC games and a digital client that promises such features as unlimited PC play. I don't know what that means, but hey, sounds good. It says unlimited in the title. client users will be able to catalog their games and create customized game libraries to share with other players. In addition, GameFly subscribers will be able to manage their queues. Stop it. For game rentals.
It's not me. Not this time.
The client also includes a store where anyone can pre-order upcoming new release games and purchase used games. Naturally, the client will offer up-to-date news and information streams on the latest from GameFly's wholly owned divisions, such as Shaq News. Mm-hmm. Did you know they own Shaq News?
No, I didn't know that.
Now you do.
I do. I learn something new every day.
A closed beta for the client will begin on September 8th, with codes being handed out to GameFly members at an event in Los Angeles. What? We don't get any? Boo. The public launch for the client is being planned to take place during the holiday season in the U.S. and the U.K. Ooh, that's all sexy. I like it when it's cold and I get games. The move towards digital delivery.
Alrighty then.
Hey, I didn't explain to you how it becomes to the sexy part. I could have gone into detail, but I'm not. You put two and two together. Literally. Okay, so the move towards digital delivery makes sense, considering that the company bought editorials news Shaq News. I can't talk. Bought editorial news site Shaq News, along with its file download service, Shaq Files. It'll be interesting to see how the service compares to digital distribution channels such as, yes, Steam and GameStop's Impulse and EA's OnLive. It is the battle of the digital download services. That's why we want the Jell-O.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Sounds like we are going to need the Jell-O.
I'm going to sit on the sidelines and eat my popcorn. It'll sound something like this. And then...
I hate you.
And now I'm going to tell Ginger, get the bucket. She's going to throw the Jell-O in. It's going to be good.
It's going to be good. I cannot wait. This is going to be awesome is what this is going to be.
Absolutely epic. The fighting will be epic.
All right. This is a crazy one. I don't know what to think about this.
They're all crazy.
Kim Jong-il.
Yeah.
All right. So GamePolitics.com. South Korea accuses Kim Jong-il's government of major MMO hacking.
What?
I know, right? The New York Times is reporting that minions of North Korean leader Kim Jong-il have found an interesting way of earning some much-needed cash, MMOs. According to South Korean authorities, their neighbor to the north has created an army of young hackers and unleashed them on South Korea's most popular MMO RPGs.
Ooh, Didn't I tell you people were doing that? I told you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you
I'm
did.
Excited.
This group is finding ways to exploit systems, gather in-game credits, and convert it all back to cold hard cash. Police in Seoul said Thursday that four South Koreans and a Korean Chinese were arrested on charges related to such activities, and further alleges that many of the 30 or so young video gaming experts were working out of northern China. According to police, this group developed hacking software that circumvented the servers for such South Korean online games as Lineage and Dungeon and Fighter. This security breach allowed the group to play around the clock and farm various virtual goods. The ill-gotten goods, the New York Times refers to them as points, but that is not entirely an accurate description, were then exchanged for cash at websites where virtual goods are resold to players who want them and are willing to pay real-world money. Police also said that the software these men used to exploit various games was also sold. In less than 2 years, the group managed to raise $6 million, and according to police, they gave 55% of it to the hackers, who forwarded some of it to agents in Pyongyang, North Korea. I probably said that wrong. They regularly contacted North Korean agents for close consultations. Chung Kil Kwan, a senior officer at the police agency's International Crime Investigations Unit, said during a news briefing. Chung said that hackers who are all reportedly graduates of North Korea's elite science universities were dispatched from two places, the Korean Computer Center in Pyongyang and the Korea Nagando General Training Company. The latter company, he claims, reports to a shadowy Communist Party agency called Office 39.
You said the C word. Ooh. That's not good.
No, which gathers foreign hard currency for Mr. Kim through drug trafficking, counterfeiting, arms sales, and other illicit activities.
No.
Not good. South Korean and American officials claim this secret and covert fund is worth billions, and that Kim uses it to finance his nuclear weapons programs and to smuggle luxury goods into the country, which he in turn uses to buy the allegiances of party and military elites.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, wow. This is crazy.
The North Korean computer experts were each required to send at least $500 a month back to the Pyongyang government, according to police. North Korean officials denied the accusations that South Korean officials were simply inventing a conspiracy.
It's no this conspiracy. This is not a conspiracy. I told you people. Oh. I told y'all. It actually sounds like a game.
It does.
I can't believe all that's true. It sounds like a game. Oh, wow. Well, I say, people, where is this going on? South Korea?
Yes. Well, it's North Korea, but South Korea is the one accusing them of it.
Okay. I think we all need to pull out of both those places and just call it a day. People, call it a day. Wow.
And never mind, I've been.
Never mind, I could hold it. I'm floored, completely floored. We're going to move along because I'm scared to talk now. Somebody's going to bust down my door. You'll give me your console now.
No, I won't. Oh, my. Mm-mm. Yeah, to father, my cold dead fingers, buddy. My consoles.
See, Ginger's hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
I was, but I just want to keep my fingers. I'll buy new consoles. You can come take them.
No, it's mine.
Take all you know. I'll buy more. Mm. All right. There's lots of conferences and stuff going on, as you all know. There's a cloud gaming conference, which you can find on our site, I believe, on our calendar. Right now, they're saying if you go sign up, you can save $100. I think it's only for media. But they are saying... give you some names here that are going to be there. THQ, GameStop, EA, Kakai, many more. They're not giving me the date. I hate when they do that.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of when they do that either. They should...
It keeps saying the end of this month, which pits it against PAX, which means if you're in media and you couldn't get in like we couldn't at first, but now they for some reason want us there. Sorry, PAX. We're now angry. I tell you, we were breaking up. It's over between us. We're breaking up
now. It is totally over. You guys.
Stop calling us. We don't. Come pick up your stuff to the left, to the left. Okay.
I was watching that last night. To the left. Yeah.
So you can go check out the Cloud Gaming Conference if you weren't able to get into PAX. I don't know that. Well, where are we going? Ginger made a decision.
We are going to GDC Austin.
Yay! Whenever that.
Yeah, that's actually going to be on my birthday.
Oh, that means I get to take you to Moonshine Cafe on your birthday.
Oh, what is Moonshine Cafe?
Girl, and people listening, the Moonshine Cafe in Austin. If you never go anywhere else in Austin, you must go to the Moonshine Cafe on a Sunday morning. Yes, there is a line around the building when you get there. Yes, everybody will get in, and it is the best breakfast you will ever have in your entire life. Forget IHOP. I'm serious. Forget your grandma's kitchen, because grandmas can cook, but I think they got some grandmas working in the kitchen over there at the Moonshine Cafe.
Ooh.
It is a buffet for breakfast, and it is every breakfast food that you have ever heard of and some you have not.
That sounds awesome.
All cooked fresh, and it is not set up like the traditional buffet. It is all laid out like you're in a palace. It is gorgeous. Mm-hmm.
I like that.
And when I say every breakfast food, from you Southerners to you Northerners, we're talking the grits, the gravy, the biscuits, yes. So I get to take Ginger there. When she comes back, she's going to be like, oh, my God.
I'm never going home.
Nobody does go home. That turns in from breakfast into brunch, and there is literally a line around the building every morning. 6 a.m., they start lining up. People are not playing in Austin. And college kids, they're not playing.
That sounds good.
Yes, I get to take Ginger to Moonshine. That's
a yay!
On her birthday. That's happy. That makes me happy.
I think the last day of it on my birthday, if I was looking at it right.
That makes me very, very happy. Yay! Anybody else want to come? Yeah, you want to come?
No. Oh, yeah. Party.
I didn't say I was going to pay for your ticket. If you got five on the room, we might let you sleep in there on the floor, of course. Okay, so anyway. We's pole gamers. We's pole. Mm-hmm. Okay, so gamification, the gamification summit, another event going on. I swear, sometimes you just have to name things after yourself. We do it too, so what can I say? They are going to be offering what they're calling a certificate in gamification design.
Certificate in gamification design.
Yes, apparently you can learn hands-on from experts how the science of games can transform your business. This will be taking place September 15th and 16th up in New York. The Gamification Summit is the only event, they're saying they are, focused on transforming business through the science of video games. And they've announced the world's first program offering a gamification design certificate, which will be offered there at the conference. Attendees will be able to take part in interactive workshops with a brand new curriculum designed by Summit Chair and industry expert Gabe Zuckerman in consultation with some industry partners. By implementing the concept of gamification hands-on in real business case studies, workshop attendees will gain the expertise to drive consumer and employee engagement for their own organization using the power of games. Gamification is delivering unprecedented success in a wide array of industries, marketing, loyalty, health, education, and the enterprise, to name a few, said Gabe. He said there's an extraordinary shortage of gamification design experts who understand best practices and have the tools necessary to gamify inside their organizations. We believe that there will be a demand for 10,000 people with gamification expertise worldwide in the next decade, and we're thrilled to be the first offering this program. This program will teach the foundations of gamification, uncover player types and what motivates and engages them, and reveal what game mechanics are most effective. Attendees who sign up for the G-Summit workshop with a workshop pass will be invited to review foundational materials beforehand and gain access to the complete two-day curriculum at G-Summit, including an unprecedented design intensive on the second day. Thereafter, Gabe's advanced workshop will go hands-on with the principles and techniques necessary to create engagement with gamification design. On-site presentations, Q&A with industry experts, and additional video materials will supplement this learning. Following the workshop, attendees will be able to take a practical exam where they'll develop a real gamification architecture for their own company and project. Successful completion of this practicum will earn a Level 2 Gamification Design Certificate. Exams will be peer-reviewed by a panel of gamification. How many times are we going to say that word in this freaking press release, people?
I don't know, but I'm having a lot of fun listening to you say it.
I keep hearing Californication in my head by Red Hot Chili Peppers. If you want to know, every time I say it, stop it. I'm going to skip down to the bottom. If you really want to read this, you can pop by our site, of course, gamification.com. But who will be there if you're like, why should I go to this? Well, people from Google, Microsoft, Aetna, MLB, Playboy. Sit down, you in the back. Sit down.
What?
MTV.
Playgirl?
Playboy, I said. Playboy. I'm talking to that guy in the back that just stood up and went, yes, no, sit down. MTV, Guilt Group, and Mint.com will share data. They also share best practices and network and their network over 2 days of lectures, demos, panels, and workshops. You can register for the agenda if you would like to go. GSummit.com. I don't know if I need to be in New York because some of the shoes live in New York. It would be a bad thing. I don't think I'd make it to the summit.
That's very true.
Bergdorf's is in New York. I just want to point that out. Some of you ladies out there know exactly what Bergdorf's is, and I don't have Bergdorf's money. I will be broke and will not be able to get back.
I'll have to move into somebody.
Yeah, I will be sitting on the corner begging.
We'll level your character for Bergdorf's money.
I think I like that.
New t-shirt.
It's tomorrow. I already got a bunch in the can, and I just add that to the book, to the group.
We'll level your tune for money.
Somebody, I don't know who, but we're getting cut.
Oh my God, I'm so in awe of the story. Seriously, like, wow. All right, so new story just came up on GamePolitics.com this morning, and looks like they pulled it from the Washington Post. And there's a picture. I want you all to go over to GamePolitics.com and check this out. All of you right now. Young hacker shines at DEF CON. Last week at the DEF CON hacking conference in Las Vegas, there were some unfamiliar faces wandering around the event. Teens and children. For the first time since it was founded 18 years ago, DEF CON has opened its doors to young people ages 8 to 16. Parents who regularly attend the event were delighted about the news. All of the young attendees had to be accompanied by an adult, and some of the most difficult competitions were geared towards those young participants. Those competitions included lock picking and finding the weak points in popular software and computer hardware. The kids in attendance did not disappoint adults who were mesmerized by their skills.
Wow.
One hacker that really impressed the crowds was a 10-year-old who went by the name Sci-Fi, who discovered how to hack mobile games on Android and iOS devices.
Wait. Make them wait for it. Don't tell them right away.
You know you want to hear it. Oh, my God. Sci-Fi discovered that adjusting her phone's clock allowed her to speed up the progress of the game. Oh, yes, that's right. Sci-Fi is a chick. And a 10-year-old hacker chick at that. Wow. I'm in love. All right, so Sci-Fi also discovered that disconnecting the phone's Wi-Fi, she could make the clock adjustments and then resume play at a faster rate. This is so awesome. A 10-year-old girl who's a hacker. This is just too cool.
Do you feel the swell of pride?
I do. My heart's all like, Sci-Fi. Yes. Oh, my gosh. This is so awesome. I want to, like, cheer her on. I want a shirt that says Team Sci-Fi.
I think so. Let me add that to the list.
All right, so Sci-Fi called it a zero-day hack and showed off her technique to 100 fellow hackers at DEF CON. The hack is called Zero Day because game developers have not figured out that their games may be vulnerable to this particular hack. The young hacker refused to name her targets to give them time to fix the problem before hordes of other hackers used the hack to speed up their own gameplay.
And that's how you do it.
Yes.
LOLSEC, that's how you do it.
Exactly. See, a 10-year-old does it better than y'all do.
Ethical. Thank you.
Yes. That is awful.
Proud. I think I have tears in my eyes.
Yeah, I want to adopt her. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so proud. I'm so proud, gamer girl.
Yes.
I'm
way
choked
to
up.
Go, gamer girl. Oh, that's awesome.
I'm
Sci-Fi, I love you. Team Sci-Fi. All right, yeah, I'm totally linking this over Facebook right now.
Yes.
And then on Twitter.
Please do. I just posted on Twitter. Please put it on the Facebook. Please. Oh, I have tears in my eyes. I'm so proud. Okay. Well, speaking of being choked.
yeah?
Oh, you. No, ma'am. You went to a whole other place with that. I was referring to the news that we've been keeping you up to date on about Team Bondi.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Again.
Well, they sold their IP, and the staff were ordered some new roles at KMN. They're currently being offered other new positions at Digital Dish Production Studio, KMM, which is also Kennedy Miller Mitchell, or redundancy. That's according to a report by develop.com, which claims that both intellectual property and assets belonging to Team Bondi have been sold to KMM, which is a Sydney studio currently working on Penguin blockbuster Happy Feet 2. So far, the L.A. Noire developer has failed to comment on rumors, and no legal paperwork has been filed with the Australian Securities and Investments Commission detailing any sell-off or change to the business. The news follows rumors that Team Bondi's boss, Brandon McNamara, has visited KMM to strike a deal with the production company. In July, leaked emails from Team Bondi highlighted poor working conditions at the studio, with developers forced to crunch in order to complete L.A. Noire, a game that had been in development for 7 years once it was eventually released. Here's my thing. See, that also looks bad to me. You people had this game for 7 years, and finally, your publishing company stepped up and said, look, you need to finish this. And you all got mad. It took you 7 years to
finish. I don't know. Some people's children.
I'm worried about my country and people here. I really am. All right. That was a short one, so let me share this with you really quickly.
Okay.
We do have charts, and they will go up today and go up every day every week from here on out if you'd like to keep up with the gaming charts. But today, we'll give them to you. Mm-hmm. I'll tell them to you.
Oh, yeah? But,
no, not really. I think I have the wrong charts. I have the wrong charts because I am crazy. I've been hanging out with the wrong people. Okay, I'm done. Ginger, go ahead because my charts are not loading. They don't like me.
All right, I can do that. If I'm not going to lose my voice. All right, so Tazai Games brings Spelunker HD to the European PlayStation Network. Notorious best-selling platformer comes to Europe this Wednesday. Are you up to the challenge? Tazai Games announced that Spelunker HD will launch this Wednesday, August 10th, on the European PlayStation Network. This devious reimagining of the classic 1983 platformer created by Tim Martin contains all the fun and teeth-grinding challenge of the original, but with bold new 3D graphics, 100 freshly designed levels, and both co-op and competitive multiplayer modes for up to 6 players. Additionally, SCEE and SCEA players will have shared leaderboards and the ability to play together online, which means someone will always be around to share in your plethora of deaths and plethora of deaths or adventures, they say. All right, so in Spelunker HD, the player navigates each labyrinthine level to an ancient statue that stands at the entrance to yet a deeper, more heinous cave. En route, you may operate the archaic mine equipment and ride the automated machinery to aid in your quest. You'll collect a plethora of items and power-ups, encounter a vast array of creatures, and detonate bombs and launch flares as you run, jump, and climb your way ever deeper. When nostalgia strikes, an option to play in the original 2D graphics style is also available. Spelunker HD received a PlayStation Store Top Sales Award when it first became available in Japan in 2009. It also received a truckload of critical acclaim in North America, including a Best of 2010 award from J.C. Fletcher of Joystick. All right, so they go on to talk about it more. All right, so if you want to check out this game or you want a complete history of it, you can go over to spelunker-hd.com. Or you can head over to GameMatrix.com. And I have, I'm pretty sure, a trailer, some screenshots, and logo up. So go check that out.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take E for 5, Alan. Oh, wrong place.
wrong place?
Yes. Speaking of E, EA. Yeah,
what they do.
You know, it was still early in the week. We had to mention them at some point. Mm-hmm. They've apparently fired their old advertising technology partner and made a company called Nanigans exclusive Facebook advertising technology partner. Playfish, which is a part of EA Studio, and they're, of course, the leading creator of social games, number 2 in the social game category, according to AppData, actually, has selected Nanigans, Inc. as its exclusive Facebook advertising technology partner. Playfish and over 200 other leading companies use Nanigans' ad engine platform to boost ROI through real-time bidding and optimizing advertising spend for players who actually generate revenue. Playfish has licensed the Nanigans' ad engine platform to efficiently advertise across its entire portfolio of social games. Playfish will have first access to new features on the ad engine platform and will use it to further strengthen its strategic marketing advantage. Playfish has already used the Nanigans ad engine platform on games such as Madden NFL Superstars, Monopoly Millionaires, and Restaurant City. And it will also use it on The Sims Social, which I will not be playing. If anybody sends me an invite, I will cut you. We purposely build our platform to...
You sound serious.
I'm serious. I will not play that crap. Okay, I'm lying. I'll play it so I can talk bad about it. I can't talk bad about it until I do.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's the way I roll, people. I don't say it's a bad game until I can tell you so. So of course, we built our platform to automate as much of our campaign management as possible and at the same time optimize for downstream conversion, particularly revenue and ROI. I'm especially proud to be supporting something as exciting as The Sims Social. I'm going to leave it at that.
Wow. All right.
I can't read anymore. It makes my eyes bleed or something. Speaking of eyes bleeding, yeah, we've got new sections and stuff coming on the site. And one of them, I'm really thinking, we talked about the judging thing yesterday. We do need to do not just clothes, but buildings. It's some people in Second Life. I don't know if it's your video card. Or if you're just techie, but you got some ugly buildings. I'm not going to name any names. I'm not going to point anybody out. But there will be pictures. So if you come and check our site and your building's up, we won't say anything to you, but we'll post it.
Yes. I like that idea because some of you, I don't know what y'all were thinking. I'm like, oh, no, no. I'm all like, is this, 10 years ago when Second Life first came out? Because this is horrible.
Yes, that's what it looks like. And, stop it.
Mm-hmm. I know. Stop. It's ugly. It's ugly. It's not pretty. All right. Do I have time for another one?
You do. We have 5 whole minutes.
Good. Okay. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. Looks like they may have pulled it from Kotaku. GamePolitics.com. Australia's Productivity Commission tackles video game prices. Australia's Productivity Commission, an independent advisory board that focuses on the economic, social, and environmental issues affecting the welfare of Australians, is now setting its sight on video game prices in the country. A new report entitled Economic Structure and Performance of the Australian Retail Industry details this the sticker shock Australians face when it comes to buying video games. The report details the practice by publishers of artificially increasing the price of games. The Productivity Commission roundly condemns this practice in its report. The Commission says that it is aware of the long-standing practice by international suppliers to set different regional prices. This effectively treats consumers in one region as willing to pay higher prices than those in other countries. Australian consumers are quite aware of this practice because they often see that consumers in other regions are paying significantly less than they are. Some international suppliers have attempted to defend the practice by saying that this is due to the cost of supplying a remote and relatively small market like Australia, which has its own unique requirements. These arguments are especially ridiculous in the case of digital downloads such as music, software, and videos, where the cost of delivery to the customer are negligible and uniform to what everyone else in the world is paying. All right, so they say you can actually see the full report over at pc.gov.au. And, yeah, I'm not going to send you to the other website, so if you want to check that out, you can go over to gamepolitics.com.
All right. Me with my mouth full of apple. See, Ginger's all dirty today. I don't know what's happening to her.
That was not even dirty. I was just laughing. You got a mouth full of apples. That's not dirty. Not yet, at least.
Bad, Ginger. Bad. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Yep. Quick break.
For some of y'all who didn't know like me, the guilt started back up again.
Ooh. She like me. Remember when you tried to
kill me twice? When I tried to kill you twice. At least in this first time, I ain't got that mistake.
You guys know where to find us. Yes, we are where our site is a little bit of a shambles. Things are being added. You go by and check it out. Sign up, I don't think, but go by and look through.
She was a lot like you, maybe not quite as heavy. Now little Carolyn is in you too. One day they woke me up so I could live forever. It's a shame the same will never happen to you. You got your choice today, that's what I'm counting on. I'll let you get right to it now. I only want you gone.
Lovely.
Did you think I meant you?
That's my favorite part.
Lovely friend.
Well, before we go bye-bye, I'm going to tell you the title of this, and then it's going to drive you all crazy. You can access to the streaming, non-streaming portion to hear it. But apparently, Nintendo has signed a Wi-Fi deal with the cloud. Mm-hmm. You want the details, Ginger? Should I start?
Yeah, the cloud? What's the cloud?
Well, let me give you the details. Nintendo UK has formed a new partnership with UK Wi-Fi provider The Cloud, allowing 3DS users to access 5,000 hotspots for free. The Cloud partnership represents another exciting step that will continue to expand its appeal and encourage owners to take their Nintendo 3DS systems with them wherever they go, offering different and unique experiences every day. This is from the Nintendo marketing director, Don Payne. What is going on with GLaDOS? Stop talking crazy.
GLaDOS? GLaDOS.
From today, the access points allow 3DS owners to access content via the Nintendo Spot Pass service, and they can access the Nintendo eShop or just browse the internet. And Nintendo is a fantastic add-on to our list of strategic partners and site owners who are making the most of Wi-Fi's potential to give their customers a better entertainment experience, added Steve Nicholson, who's the cloud's managing director. If gamers are going to play outside of their home, it's essential that they have a fast and reliable internet connection. That is what Wi-Fi offers compared to technologies such as 3G, which struggles to handle really rich data-hungry video content. Very true. That is exciting. So when I get my 3DS, I can just game anywhere.
I'm over here talking, and I'm muted. I'm like, do-do-do-do-do. That is kind of awesome.
Just lovely. Just delicious. Wait a minute. I think I have a late breaking here. Give me a minute.
Oh, you got some late breaking?
I got some late breaking. Well.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'll share.
You make that noise, and I'm like, uh-oh.
It's good, not good. Dear Splinter Cell fans, I am no longer on that train since that last one. However, those of you that still are, I may be encouraged for this particular one. The Splinter Cell HD Trilogy will be released on PlayStation Store tomorrow. Ubisoft has just announced the games Splinter Cell and Splinter Cell Pandora tomorrow, and Chaos Theory will cost about $9.99. I'm sorry, and about $23.99 bundled together. There's a Blu-ray disc with games on, will be released at a later date, wrote Ubisoft production manager A.K. Paul on the European PlayStation blog. Y'all know all kind of crazy stuff is going on in my office. The Splinter Cell HD Trilogy revitalizes the last generation of Splinter Cell games in 1080p resolution and with stereoscopic 3D. Trophies have also been added because, you know, you didn't get those before. Splinter Cell HD Trilogy. Wait a minute, I'm rereading this again. PlayStation subscribers, of course, will be offered 20% off individual titles in Splinter Cell Trilogy and 10% off Pandora tomorrow. Chaos Theory, of course, comes with an exclusive theme that features Sam Fisher, the hero of the games. Boo! I don't know.
Boo! Yes, very, very, very boo.
I don't think I finished one of them. Was it Chaos Theory that I actually kept? Because I bought a collector's edition, which it comes in the whole metal box and everything. So,
yeah.
But I was not excited. Or I may have sold it. I'm really not sure. If not, it may be getting sold soon. I think Sam and I broke up. It's over, Sam. But I don't know. Maybe somebody out there is excited about it.
Yeah.
See, Ginger's not excited either.
No, sorry. I was trying to read this report.
Sure,
trying to make
sense of it. Just go ahead and admit it. You weren't excited.
Uh-huh. No, not at all. Not at all. Sorry.
They killed our Splinter Cell.
How dare you kill our Splinter Cell. I love you, Corey. All right, so I guess it's my turn. Razer establishes design center in Taiwan. Razer acquires a 20-man systems design team in Taiwan, plans to expand to 100-man team by 2012. Yay!
Yay! What does that mean?
Yay! What jobs. Well, I mean, they're not here, but hey, still jobs.
Well, true. Everybody needs a job.
Mm-hmm. So Razer, the world's leading high-end precision gaming brand, announced the opening of an office in Taiwan, starting with the acquisition of a 20-man systems design team in Taiwan. Razer aims to expand the new Taiwan office to a 100-man team by 2012. The Taiwan office is the third design center for Razer, following design centers in San Francisco and Singapore. Razer also previously established a technology research center in Austin, Texas, earlier this year. The new Razer Taiwan team will be made up of some of the top design engineers and programmers that specialize in systems and internal design to complement the elite design team in San Francisco that was responsible for conceptualizing the Razer Switchblade. Members of the new Razer Taiwan team have previously worked on projects such as Microsoft's Origami, Intel's Urban Max concept design, and some of the latest innovations in the PC system space. All right, so Min Liang Tan, CEO and creative director at Razer, says, Taiwan is a key market for us globally, and we see immense growth potential here. This office will provide us a base to expand our business globally while providing boundless opportunities for us to expand our world-class design teams from the deep talent pool available here. We pride ourselves on attracting some of the top talent in the industry, and this team will enable us to continue to stay ahead of the rest of the field. All right, so this follows Razer's acquisition of the key members of the OQO engineering team based in the U.S. in 2008, the same engineering team that pioneered ultra-mobile computers globally. Unlike many other global PC companies who have, in recent years, outsourced their design capabilities to offshore manufacturers, Razer has bucked the trend by growing in-house R&D capabilities focused specifically on the design and development of complete systems. With the acquisition of Razer Taiwan team, Razer now has one of the world's largest internal R&D and design teams that specializes in complete systems and ultra-mobile computing design. The operations in Taiwan will commence in September 2011, with the expansion plans already in the works to expand the office to over 100 employees by 2012. All right, so that is pretty awesome, and I'm pretty sure I've got more of this up over at GameNatrix.com if you want to head over there and check that out.
Well, as you guys know, me and my Facebook addiction, I've been staying away because I've been busy, but oh my God, they may pull me back in today. new Facebook game is going to allow you wannabe fashionistas, and like myself, to open a virtual boutique. Beauty Town gives users the opportunity to open and run their own virtual fashion boutique. Mm-hmm. Ginger,
oh,
yeah? I'm looking at you. Look, Ginger's like, oh yeah, really?
Oh yeah?
Mm-hmm. Ginger.
Virtual fashion boutique, you say?
Okay, so today sees, of course, the launch of Beauty Town, a Facebook game where people can open and manage their own. Why do I have this whole manage northern accent today?
I don't know. My southern accent keeps trying to come out, and I'm like, no.
I am so not northern.
Back into the box.
Stop it. I wasn't even in that region when I was up there. Okay. I don't know. In Wisconsin is where I was. Okay, so.
Wisconsin? Oh, my God. I got some family up there. I love y'all. But, man, y'all got some funky accents.
Yes, I have some in Ohio, but I was dating somebody in Wisconsin, so that's why I was. Yes, he was. Okay, so manage your own. You can manage your own virtual fashion boutique. The game was developed by Dynamo Games with support from Channel 4 and Creative Scotland's Digital Media IP Fund. It allows players to learn more about fashion and look good while having fun with their friends. I like that they didn't make this woman specific. Thank you. Beauty Town is available to play on Facebook and can be accessed by visiting our site. Of course, if you go over to our site, we have a link to it. Or you can go over to our page because you know I'm going to be playing. I'm trying not to, but it's already open. It's too late. Beauty Town, of course, is a multiplayer platform game that allows users to interact with their friends on Facebook. Players have full control over their avatar and can then create and stock their boutique to make it the most fashionable place on the street.
Ooh,
it also allows players to grow and develop their character as they acquire all of the necessary skills to reach certain achievements, building up for the prestigious stylist of the year.
Sorry, I was drinking. Yay!
Stylist of the year. Let's try that again.
Stylist of the year. Yay!
It is also possible for people to interact with other Beauty Town players in the game's unique social form.
In other words, I'm going to kick y'all's butt.
Right. Which can focus on helping users that might have body image questions by sharing advice, tips, and tricks. Brian McNichol, wow, that's a hell of a name, who's the managing director at Dynamo Games, said this is a captivating game that mixes questions and tips around the female body. Hey, see, you went there, Brian. There's some guys that have body image issues, too. In a fun and engaging game environment, the unique social elements mean women of all ages can interact with each other while also sharing fashion tips and advice. I don't know about all that. It just needs to be fun. Of course, they're saying that they conducted research to help launch the game, which has found that nearly 3% of all British women, because apparently they're from the UK, said that they are trendsetter amongst their peer group and have said they hardly ever get a truthful opinion on what they wear from their other half. Brits in general also aren't convinced that women pay as much attention to looking good before they walk out the door, with 52% saying they don't take enough care of their appearance. That is definitely not here. Because we got to look cute when we go outside. Not all the time. Sometimes I don't want to be cute because I don't want to talk to anybody.
No, I'm pretty much one of those. You either take me or you don't.
But Ginger's cute anyway. Have y'all seen Ginger?
I is not.
She has one of those faces where she looks like she's got on makeup all the time. So, yeah, she can go outside like that. The rest of us, we got to work at it.
I love you, Corey. You're so sweet.
I'm going to cut you.
Mm-hmm. Totally not true, though.
Yeah, they're going to cut you.
All right, so Gary Crawford's new book, Video Gamers, is now available. I am pulling this from GamePolitics.com.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. A new book called Video Gamers by British sociologist Gary Crawford hits bookstores, both virtual and brick and mortar, this week. The book was published earlier this month by Routledge, London and New York, and it's priced at $25.99, pounds, francs, lindens, something, a little L sign, while other books have tried to tackle different areas of video game culture, including the negative and positive effects on children. Crawford focuses on why video gaming is economically, educationally, culturally, socially, and theoretically important, and has, in a relatively short period of time, firmly cemented its place within contemporary life. I think I'm going to go out and buy this. All right, so mostly the book focuses on the people who play games and how various game technologies affect everyday life. The book, according to its author, provides a key introduction to the study of gamers and the games they play, and reflects on the current debates surrounding gaming practices. Crawford, a cultural sociologist at the University of Salford in the UK, has conducted plenty of research issues relating to audiences and consumers, in particular, sports fans and video gamers. He has published numerous books, including Online Gaming in Context, The Sage Dictionary of Leisure Studies, Introducing Cultural Studies, and Consuming Sports. You can check out his previous works over at amazon.co.uk. All right, they do say for us Americans, because, you know, we're awesome, that want to pick up a copy of the book, you can check it out at amazon.com product page. Its price is $49.95. Oh, come on, that is, let me get it anyway.
I'm sorry to say this game has already pulled in.
Oh, no. She's been sucked in. We're never going to see her again.
It's bad.
Is it bad or is it good?
I don't know yet. I'm enjoying the character creation, so that's probably a good sign.
Oh, that is usually a good sign.
Wow. We got some more late-breaking news for you guys. Did we talk to you about the London Games Festival? Did we talk about that?
No, I don't think so, but I think I did post something up on our website today for it.
Well, those of you in the UK, I'm very sorry. There will be no London Games Festival this year.
Oh, no. What happened?
It was canceled. This is the first time in 6 years that the annual event has not run. The group said that the event will return in 2010 to coincide with the Olympics. Further, Yuki promises major collaboration with other groups such as TIGA on next year's event to make sure that it does indeed happen. Given that our key stakeholders in previous participating events such as Eurogamer Expo, the Golden Joysticks, MCM Expo, and London Games Conference are somewhat spread out time-wise this year, then it makes sense for us to collaborate and then plan ahead with all stakeholders for 2012. This is from Kirsty Payne, who's the director, I guess. She said, we really want to make the London Games Festival 2012 a great destination for interactive entertainment and create a diverse group of events. We're looking to invest more into this event to create content that will encompass skills, entertainment, consumer focus, development, government, accessibility, and tech events, which will be launched, incubated by Yuki and Tika. I don't know what happened. They're not really saying.
I don't know.
I'm sorry to hear that, because, you know, we want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. Oh, well, you can't, but I could have gone.
Just rub it all in.
Mm-hmm.
Just rub it all in. Ginger, can you do one more? We got about 2 minutes.
I can. Well, if I pull the right one. There we go. All right. So, Deus Ex, Human Revolution slightly censored for Japan. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. It looks like they pulled it from Siliconera. All right, so if you happen to live in Japan, you may or may not notice, you will now because we're telling you about it right here. okay, so you're
right.
Welcome. That the Japanese retail version of Deus Ex, Human Revolution, has undergone two edits to protect audiences from body organs and sexual objects. The first edit is an omission of a cutscene in the game that shows a character with their organs exposed.
Ooh, hey, what kind of words? Let's talk about here.
All right. The second edit involves an unknown sexual object removed from one of the game's maps. Deus Ex Human Revolution will arrive in Japan with a 0Z rating, the equivalent to an adults-only rating here and elsewhere. Both of these cuts were made because display of this kind of material is strictly prohibited in Japan. Really? You guys are like the home of all the freaks.
Yes, of all things freaky and
porn. Come on, yeah. All right, so Deus Ex Human Revolution releases September 8th in Japan, roughly 2 weeks after its launch in North American, who wrote this? Do not repeat
somebody
yourself.
From Japan.
After its North American launch. Yeah, because it was worded roughly 2 weeks after its launch, North American launch. It's kind of like, wait, what? See, sometimes people, when you hear us stutter, it's because we're reading this, and all of a sudden we realize that the sentence does not make sense that we're trying to read. We're trying to work it back into a working order.
Mm-hmm. Rewriting PRs on the fly.
Yes. You're like, she stutters. She's got a stuttering problem. No, you should read these.
Crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, so no more squid porn in
Japan. No more squid porn in Japan.
And on that note, it would be time for us to go.
And
apparently my virus database has been updated. Somehow my voice has been turned back on for my antivirus. I don't know how that happened.
Nice. You're going to love it when that happens.
Oh, wow. So we're going to take you guys out with a little PvP girl today, because you know how we roll.
Yay. I love me some PvP girl.
Yes, sir. It's the most notorious rogue of Bandit Nation, accompanied by Miss PvP girl, Gigi.
So beautiful.
Give her a round of applause. Give her a round of applause.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I like this right here. I'm sitting here waiting to raid and I ain't feeling it. Stressing cause I'm tired of lag and even dealing with it. Kinda bumming and feeling a little down and out. Cause every time we jump on the mob, I get to lagging out. But Gigi is saying,
I'm really wanting you to go.
So yo, I'ma suck it up cause Nation is a pro. I told her, let me restart and I'll be right back. And she told me,
hurry up, Nation, we're starting ASAP.
So I log a restart, then get back on the game. And I make it out to next to go and take that what's his name. But during this past work, I get a freeze frame. Cause everybody is casting their spells, it's kinda lame. Everything is skipping and jumping and moving real slow.
Tinder.
Bye, boys and girls. Mwah.